Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rogue of the Moors by Cynthia Breeding. Narrated by Lulu Russell. Chapter 1. West Highlands, July 1817.
Your secret will be safe with me forever.
Bridget MacLeod whispered the words, placed a sprig of rare white heather on her husband's grave, and stood. Her marriage to Brodie Cameron had been comfortable, not passionate. They had understood and respected each other. No one would ever know the truth they had kept shrouded. She looked around the tidy stone-walled cemetery that held many of her ancestors. Generations of MacLeods had called the medieval castle perched on a promontory cliff home. Although her brother Ian headed the clan, she had run the household. Until now. Bridget tucked loosened strands of her long red hair behind her ear and smoothed her practical muslin gown. Then she walked through the wooden gate, secured the latch, and started up the hill. She sensed her life was about to change.
"You can, you do not have to go,"
Ian said the next morning, as Bridget set a small valise down by the entryway door next to a packed trunk.
"We have plenty of room for you to stay."
"And I could use help with the babes," Gillian, his wife, added. "The twins are old enough to help you now," Bridget replied. "They can keep the parents out of trouble."
Gillian stopped just short of rolling her eyes.
"Caitlin and Kaylin are usually the cause of trouble, not the solution."
"Your home has always been here," Ian said.
"I have appreciated the hard work you do," Gillian said. "I hope you know that."
Bridget nodded. When Ian had brought his English wife home 2 years ago, she had never tried to take over running the household. Instead, they'd easily divided and shared duties.
"I can. Without Brodie, I feel like a ship's sail flapping in the wind. Brodie has only been gone 5 months. Give yourself time," Gillian answered. "We do not want you to leave."
Bridget smiled at both of them.
"I truly need a change. Arisaig is only a hard day's ride away. Besides, with her sister finding she is with child, she will not be able to help Robert much longer in the marine office. I can manage things until she's recovered from childbirth. That is months away."
Gillian looked thoughtful.
"Shauna may want to stay home with her new babe. Do you plan to live there permanently?"
Bridget wasn't sure. Shauna had invited her to come and stay as long as she needed to after Brodie's death from his illness last spring. Bridget just knew she wanted to make a life for herself somewhere.
"Robert will not want his wife working once there is a family," Ian said.
As if that would make a difference. Shauna was only slightly less stubborn than Bridget. Neither of them took kindly to being told what they could not do. She heard the carriage wheels crunch on the gravel outside and picked up her valise. She looked around the familiar foyer with its tiled floor.
"I want to do this."
Ian sighed and hoisted the trunk onto his shoulder, while Gillian hugged her.
"I hope you will not be gone too long."
Bridget started to reply just as the 14-year-old twins came racing down the hall, nearly knocking over a vase of fresh flowers Gillian had put on a small table.
"We want to come too,"
Caitlin shouted. Caitlin held up a satchel.
"We're already packed."
"And you'll go right upstairs and unpack,"
Ian said in a tone that brooked no response, although both twins looked like they were going to argue anyway. Ian glowered at them.
"Now, lasses."
Caitlin pouted, and Caitlin frowned.
"But Bridget is leaving." "She will come back to visit," Gillian said gently.
The twins turned to Bridget, their green eyes hopeful.
"Will you?"
Bridget hated making promises she might not keep.
"I will try."
The twins rushed at her so forcefully she might have been bowled over, except for the fact they were both clutching her tightly. For a moment, her resolve wavered. She had lived in this redone medieval castle her whole life. Then she hugged the girls back and followed Ian out the door to the waiting carriage. Ian didn't speak as he strapped the trunk to the back of the coach and came around to open the door for her. Bridget was grateful for that. Sailing the stormy emotional sea of the past 5 months, she had kept her feelings tightly sheeted in. Now was not the time to allow herself a weak moment. Instead, she returned Ian's curt nod and waved briefly at Gillian and the twins standing on the steps. Ian closed the door, and she heard him give last-minute instructions to the guards that would ride alongside. Then, the carriage lurched forward. Bridget resisted the urge to look out the window one last time. What good would it do? She never cried, and right now, she felt perilously close to doing just that. She cleared her throat, lifted her chin, and folded her hands in her lap. This was Ian and Gillian's home now, a place where they could raise their bairns. Even though they had offered her a place to stay, she did not want to be the equivalent of a dowager aunt. At 8 and 20, she was no longer young, but Bridget did not want to grow old relying on Ian's charity. She needed to take hold of her ship's tiller and steer her own course. Early afternoon on the second day, the carriage finally reached Arisaig. Bridget would have preferred they just exchange horses at a coaching inn by Lochmoror and continue on, but evidently part of the instructions that Ian had given, which she hadn't heard, were orders for the driver and guards to spend the night at the inn, lest brigands or marauders attack them after dark. She wasn't sure whether she wanted to bless Ian for taking precautions, or curse him for thinking she was some delicate hothouse flower that needed pampering. Widowhood had not turned her into a whimpering fool. At least she was here now, a new start to an independent life. Bridget looked out the carriage window as the carriage proceeded down the main street of the village. An open area on one side had a few stalls, indicating where the local market would be. Broken seashells paved the road and crunched beneath the horses' hooves as they passed a small stone church with an array of tombstones, some upright and others slanting sideways on either side of it. Past that, a wood-framed house stood, probably for the parson. A short distance away was the public house that, given its second story, probably also let rooms. A public stable and smithy were farther down the road. Behind those buildings would be the villagers' homes, nestled in the shadows of the rocky Craig Moor. As the carriage turned right at the end of the road, Bridget caught a glimpse of the sheltered shore of Loch Nan Seal. An actual Viking longboat bobbed on a mooring not far out. Pretty as it was, did anyone actually use a longboat anymore? The water seemed so calm compared to the rough waves of Loch Shiel that crashed below her home. Former home, Bridget reminded herself. Still, the familiar scent of salty sea air was comforting. She could also see a small whitewashed building set back from the water that probably served as a marine office. The horses trotted down a narrow, hardened dirt street with a few sparse trees on one side. They passed several small cottages and a large two-story wood-flat home behind high hedges and tangled vines. 3 houses later, the carriage rocked to a stop. This was it then. Her new life awaited her. Bridget took a deep breath as the coachman opened the door. She stepped down and stood for a moment surveying her sister's home. It might be Bridget's new home too, at least for a while. Larger than the cottages, smaller than the house behind the rambling vegetation, Shauna's house sparkled with fresh white paint, green shutters, and varnished front door with a polished brass bell hanging from a bracket beside it. The short walkway was gravelled, with neatly trimmed lawn on either side. Everything looked ship-shape, which wasn't surprising, since Robert was a ship's captain, and Shauna had a penchant for tidiness. The coachman brought Bridget out of her reverie as he unloaded the trunk from the rumble seat with a grunt and carried it up the walkway.
"You'll be spending the night here?"
Bridget asked as he returned to the carriage. The man shook his head and climbed up on the bench.
"With a summer light, we can make it back to Loch Islet before dark."
Bridget didn't need to ask why. The inn there was the only one within 20 miles,
and was also a popular spot for sailors coming up the loch. The proprietor kept the place well-stocked with whisky and barrels of ale, and Bridget had seen several buxom serving maids when they'd stopped. Since Ian's guards were already waiting down the street for the carriage, arrangements had probably been made last evening for tonight's lodging and subsequent entertainment.
"Safe journey, then, and thank ye," she said.
He nodded once and snapped the reins. Bridget watched as he drove away and then walked the short way to the door. She pulled the rope attached to the clapper and listened to the clang of the bell. The sound seemed lonely on the silent street. She waited for footsteps from within, but none came. She frowned slightly. Why did no one answer? Come to think on it, why hadn't someone come out when the carriage stopped? Robert might be at the Marine office, but where was Shauna? Bridget pulled the bell rope again, a little harder this time.
No one is home.
Bridget turned at the sound of the man's voice, and then stifled a gasp. Alistair MacDonald stood at the end of the walk, looking more magnificent than when she had seen him months ago. He wore tight breeches, knee-high boots, and a leather jerkin with no shirt. With his heavily muscled arms and broad chest tanned deeply from the sun, and his long black hair blowing in the breeze behind him, he looked like a pirate. She hadn't expected to see Alistair here, since Shauna had written he alternated his time on the Isle of Skye, establishing kelp farming, and Glasgow, helping Robert obtain contracts for the kelp soda ash used in glassmaking. His sea-green eyes widened at the sight of her.
What are you doing here?
Had Shauna told no one she was coming? Bridget shook her head, confused.
I could ask you the same question.
Alistair lifted a black eyebrow.
I live here.
He came closer.
Do you not remember me?
She wasn't very likely to forget the man, since she'd mended a gash on his thigh last spring. A wound that had not only warranted exposing the whole of his well-defined brawny leg, but had also brought her face perilously close to his nether regions when she'd lowered her head to bite the thread she'd used to stitch him. Even now, her stomach fluttered a bit at the memory.
I recall you and your brothers rode back to Glenfinnan with Robert.
Alistair grinned.
I recall you tended to my wound.
Lord have mercy. The man had a wicked smile. Bridget hoped she wasn't blushing. She never blushed. And why was she suddenly flustered? She didn't get flustered either. She wasn't some silly schoolgirl.
You were attacked by brigands.
His smile vanished.
Or MacLean's.
They denied it,
Bridget said, feeling more like she was on safe ground now, talking about her neighbours.
Denying does not make it the truth,
Alistair replied.
Owen MacLean did not like losing his bride to Robert.
Shauna was never Owen's intended, despite what he thought,
Bridget answered. Alistair shrugged.
Facts do not mean anything to some men.
He glanced down at her trunk.
Have you come for a visit?
Bridget hesitated, wondering if she should say she planned to stay.
I felt that I wanted a change from...
Alistair's expression turned sympathetic.
Robert told me of your husband's passing. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
'Tis hard on a woman to be left alone.
Bridget frowned. She didn't want his pity.
I will be fine.
I am surprised Ian didn't insist you stay with him, but Robert will take care of you while you're here.
She felt herself begin to bristle. Why did men think every woman wanted to be taken care of? The reason she'd come here was to establish some independence. Her father, rest his soul, had married her off early for the benefit of two clans. She'd done her duty. Was it so wrong to want to taste freedom?
I do not expect Robert to take care of me.
Alistair grinned again, making Bridget bristle even more, probably because she didn't want to admit his smile had a decidedly disarming effect, much like the child she had caught a week ago with a fistful of freshly baked scones and crumbs on his mouth. He'd insisted he was bringing the treats to her.
I can take care of myself.
I think Shauna has told Robert she didn't need taking care of either,
Alistair said.
He doesn't listen well.
That was Shauna's problem. Or Robert's. Bridget looked around.
Where are they?
On Sky.
What? Why would they be on Sky?
Robert wanted to check on one of the kelp farms. Shauna said it would be the last trip she'd be able to make with him, before the Baron comes.
But I wrote a letter letting them know when I'd be arriving.
Alistair frowned.
I didn't think they got it.
A sinking feeling in Bridget's stomach threatened to fall all the way to her feet, anchoring them to the ground. Now what was she going to do? Her coachman was already gone, and who knew when Robert and Shauna would be back? Bridget worried her lip, and then abruptly straightened her shoulders.
Well then, I will just stay at the house until their return. I do not think they would mind.
Nay,
Alistair said, and picked up her trunk, hoisted it to one shoulder, and turned to walk away.
Wait, what do you mean, nay? Do you think my sister wouldn't let me stay in her home?
Alistair stopped.
Aye, she would. Nay, you will na.
What? You're nae making sense. And where are you taking my trunk?
She asked when he started walking again.
To my house.
Wait.
Bridget hurried to catch up to him.
There is nae need for that. I can make do quite well until Shauna gets back.
You'll be safer at my house. I'll hear nae more of it.
Alistair replied over his shoulder as he continued on down the street. Bridget stared at his broad, retreating back, tempted to lash out at him, although she suspected it would do no more good than it did with Ian. Bossy, arrogant men. However, this particular overbearing male had all her clothing in that trunk, so she had no recourse but to follow him. She muttered a few choice words under her breath. Alistair MacDonald was a complication she didn't need. Chapter 2. He was a damn fool. As he walked toward his house, Alistair knew he was tempting the fates by bringing Bridget MacLeod home with him. She wasn't a lost puppy or helpless kitten to be rescued. She wasn't a naive young lass either. The woman he remembered from his visit at Glenfinnan had given orders like a general, and no one had questioned her, not even her brother. She would have been just fine staying at Robert's house by herself. No one even locked their doors in Arisaig. There'd been only one possible crime in over a year, and even that had never been proven. He could have opened Robert's door and put her trunk inside. Why hadn't he? Alistair grimaced. He was a damn fool, that's why.
Is the trunk too heavy for you?
Bridget asked as she reached his side and they started up his walkway. Alistair frowned at her.
Did the lass think him weak?
He'd tossed more than one of his brothers over his shoulder following a night of drinking or brawling. None of them, save for the young lads, weighed less than 13 stone. Alistair entertained a notion to pick Bridget up with his other arm and carry her as well, just to prove his point. But the door to his home opened, and his mother appeared on the doorstep.
Do we have a guest?
She asked. Bridget shook her head.
Nay,
aye,
Alistair said. His mother looked at him curiously.
Which is her?
A guest,
Alistair answered firmly before Bridget could respond. He bit back a grin as her hazel eyes flashed at him. Her bright red hair glowed like fire, and he suspected it matched her temper at the moment. He liked spirited women. They were usually equally passionate in bed. He sobered. Bridget had only been widowed a few months. She had come to visit her sister because she needed a change. No doubt she mourned her husband greatly. Brodie Cameron had been a good man. Alistair didn't need to be thinking of taking the man's grieving widow to his bed. Although right now, he doubted grieving was on her mind. She looked like she wanted to slap him, or maybe punch him, since she clenched a fist at her side.
I would like you to meet my mother, Joanna MacDonald,
he said to Bridget, and then turned to his mother.
This is Bridget MacLeod, sister to Shauna.
Bridget gave him a last look that made him think she wasn't going to meekly accept the situation. However, her voice sounded pleasant as she greeted his mother.
"'Tis good to meet ye," Bridget said. "I actually plan to stay at my sister's."
"Oh, she'll be gone a good fortnight. Maybe more,"
Joanna replied.
"Nae reason to stay alone when we've plenty of room. Half my lads went to Skye with Robert."
Alistair gave Bridget a triumphant smile, which she didn't return, and carried her trunk inside.
"I'll just take this upstairs."
"Really, I do no wish to impose."
"Ye're no trouble,"
Joanna assured Bridget.
"I've raised 10 lads and a daughter. Now come inside."
Alistair deposited Bridget's trunk in the room between his own and his sister Margaret's. His twin brothers normally occupied it, but they were on Skye. His conscience niggled at him. There were empty rooms on the third floor. Apparently the good sense God had given him was gone, and he wasn't finished being a fool just yet, because he wanted to have Bridget close to him. He could almost hear the fates plotting his demise. That is, if Bridget didn't beat them to it. The way her eyes had sent sparks at him gave him the idea she might try. He chuckled and hurried back downstairs. His smile vanished as he went through the doorway to the parlour. Three of his unruly brothers, Braden, Gavin and Niall, were already seated, anticipatory looks in their eyes as they focused on Bridget. All three of them were notorious for wooing lasses. Why couldn't Robert have taken them to Skye? Alistair answered his own question. Probably because Robert didn't want to start a clan war. Lasses seemed attracted to these three, like flies to molasses. Bridget appeared unperturbed by their intense gazes. Alistair noted she had wisely chosen a chair instead of the sofa. Good choice, given how quickly his brothers, especially Niall, could move. "Where is Margaret?" Alistair asked, stepping inside the room. Unfortunately, the other chairs closest to Bridget were taken, so he sat on the empty sofa.
"She's out fishing with the lads," Braden answered.
"How long will you be staying?" Niall asked Bridget.
"Nay,
until Robert and Shauna return."
Alistair glowered at his brothers.
"Bridget is our guest, and widowed just a few months."
Although they muttered sympathies, they looked only moderately chastised. Perhaps he should be more clear.
"I do not want to find any of you sniffing at her door."
"Speak for yourself, brother," Gavin drawled. "I heard a trunk drop in the room next to yours as I came down."
Bridget made a strange sound, close to a hiss. Alistair thought it better not to look at her. He had hoped to ease into that bit of information regarding her room's location. Right now, he wanted to box Gavin's ears. Alistair hadn't heard him in the upstairs hall, but then people didn't usually hear Gavin approach, since he had a talent for stealth.
"Up at the next to Margaret's room."
His defence sounded weak, even to himself. All three brothers grinned. Damn them. Bridget listened to the interchange between the brothers as she studied a watercolour on the wall depicting the nearby mountains. The artist had chosen to paint the scene during the gloaming, shading the base of the range in greys that created long shadows. Various hues of lavender, pink and purple indicated the unique twilight. The mountain peaks were lost in swirling haar, giving the whole picture a mystical feeling. She would like to trek up a trail and find an isolated spot to enjoy the beauty. Instead, she sat in a parlour full of MacDonald men. Bridget pretended to keep studying the picture, although she watched them covertly. She had forgotten how big and imposing they all were, like medieval warriors of old. They looked wild with their long dark hair and bold looks. A sense of power flowed from them, much like when her brothers and cousin were in the same room. That force increased when Alistair entered the room, leaving no doubt who was in charge. Bridget could picture him as a chieftain dressed in a kilt, seated on a dais meeting out law and order, and brooking no rebuttal. It didn't require much imagination, given that Alistair had taken over and decided where she would stay. She didn't like being told what to do. Even worse, Bridget suspected Alistair thought she was a helpless, dependent widow, not able to make her way in the world. She'd try once more to make him understand.
I appreciate your mother's invitation, but I cannot impose for more than a night. In the morning, I'll go to Shauna's.
Alistair folded his arms across his wide chest.
Nay.
Aye,
Bridget said.
You'll stay here until Robert returns.
Bridget frowned.
As your prisoner.
Gavin, Niall and Braden sat back and began grinning again. Alistair paid them no mind.
You're under my protection until your brother by marriage returns.
I don't need your protection.
That's for me to decide.
The man was as stubborn as Ian.
You cannot order me about.
Consider it an invitation, then.
Invitations can be turned down.
In some cases. Nay, this one.
Bridget tried not to sputter, but her temper was rising. With an effort, she managed to keep her voice calm.
Are you always so arrogant?
Aye, he is,
Braden said.
Would you like for us to beat some sense into him?
Niall asked Bridget.
He might be more willing to listen to you if we do,
Gavin added. Alistair glared at them.
If your numbskulls do not cease, you'll all be spotting black eyes and bloody noses.
And there will be no supper for any of you,
Joanna said as she entered the parlour with a tray of tea and biscuits and set it down on a small table. She winked at Bridget.
My lads do not like missing a meal.
Bridget didn't think anyone except her mother would call four huge brawny men lads. However, instead of looking indignant at Joanna's remarks, they just looked resigned. Bridget's anger melted like butter in the sun, and she stifled a laugh. She would have to remember to use lads herself.
What are you all blathering about?
Joanna asked as she poured tea. Alistair nodded to Bridget.
Do you have something you wish to say to my mother?
Bridget gave him a cool look. He had put her on the spot. She didn't want to sound rude to his mother.
We were discussing the length of my stay. I really do not wish to impose when Shauna's house is just down the street.
A thoughtful expression crossed Joanna's face.
And Alistair insists you stay with us instead.
Aye.
Bridget noticed the suddenly somber faces of the brothers.
I mean, I appreciate the offer, but I'm quite used to taking care of myself.
She doesn't again.
Enough, Braden,
Alistair said sharply. Bridget glanced at Alistair in surprise. His face could have been carved of stone. He abruptly turned and stalked out of the room. Bridget turned back to Joanna.
I truly can take care of myself, but I do not mean to insult you. Truly, I do not.
You are nae insulting us, dear,
Joanna said, and looked at the brothers. Braden nodded slightly.
"'Tis just that Alistair tends to be a wee bit overprotective at times."
That was pretty much of an understatement. Maybe his sister was the coddled sort who liked having 10 brothers to protect her and take care of every problem. Bridget was used to overly protective males. She'd grown up with them, but even they knew not to push too hard.
"'I really didn't need protecting. What harm could I come to in Arisaig?"
Joanna was quiet for a moment.
Last year, there was a young woman, Sally, in the village, whose father suggested she would be a good wife for Alistair. He had paid her some court, but decided they would not suit. They went for a walk in the hills one afternoon so he could tell her privately. She said she understood, and that she'd like to be alone to think. He left her in a small glade near a burn.
Joanna took a deep breath.
Her body was found the next morning at the base of a cliff.
Bridget put a hand to her mouth.
She jumped.
We didn't again,
Gavin answered.
There were bruises all over her.
The magistrate even questioned Alistair,
Niall said.
But the parson's daughter swore she saw the other girl walking toward the village long after Alistair had returned.
He blames himself for what happened,
Joanna said softly.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?